Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
After you've dug into Altered Beast and chewed it properly for a couple of weeks.
Hello, Rockin' the Suburbs community. This is Justin Steiner today, and we are back for day two of Matthew Sweet in the 90s week. And when I say we, I mean Kevin Clement.
Hey, Justin.
And Nicholas Nygaards.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. We had great fun talking about Girlfriend yesterday, and I am eager to get into Altered Beast today. And as we found out yesterday, whereas Kevin and I came in with Girlfriend, Nicholas, you did not come in until Altered Beast. So why don't you take it away?
Sure. Yeah, this is my introduction to Matthew Sweet. I read a review, as I said, in the last episode in one of the... We still have two tabloids in this country. And back in the 90s, you'd always buy both of them on Fridays, because that was, they had a special section with all the album reviews, so mm-hmm. You'd be sure to pick them up and read them very carefully, and then go down to the record store on the Saturday and listen to them and then buy them, the ones that you liked. So as I said on the last episode, I'm a big Lloyd Cole fan as well, and I had seen Matthew's name in the liner notes for Lloyd Cole's two first solo albums, and the review was, I mean, it was glowing. It was, although Altered Beast is a bit different from Girlfriend in my opinion, it's a little bit harder to chew. It doesn't have those direct melodies or songs, and it's not, if I would say to something someone that you should listen to Matthew Sweet, I wouldn't pick Altered Beast as the first album to go to, because I think it's a little bit harder to chew it. But once you have sort of digested it, it's such a good album as well. And he's kept most of the musicians from Girlfriend on this one. He's doing all his vocals, as we said before, and it starts off really good as well, this album. It starts off with the song Dinosaur Act, then continues into Devil with the Green Eyes, and then The Ugly Truth. And that is three very, very good songs as well. So he knows how to sequence an album, I'll tell you that. So what are your thoughts, guys? What did you think? Because I came in at this album and then backtracked and found out that there's an album called Girlfriend. I was just blown away by that. But what did you think having Girlfriend as a starting point?
Yeah, it was, like you said, kind of a little bit different, a little bit heavier. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the grunge of everything that we mentioned yesterday kind of seeps in a little bit here, even though he's still kind of working in that power pop. But it's a deeper, darker power pop. This one came out on July 13th, 1993, so 2 years after Girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I know I said that I had just been relatively new in my relationship with my now wife, when that came out. This one came out 4 days before we got married. So I'm pretty sure it was the last CD I bought before I was a married man. Cause I know I went, cause I would go on Tuesdays to Best Buy to go buy whatever albums I was buying. And, I had this along on our honeymoon, cause I had my little Sony Discman, and you know, I had to pick only a certain number of CDs. So I was listening to Altered Beast on my honeymoon, which was, you know, kind of an odd juxtaposition, but, you know, it was Matthew Sweet, so I was in it. What about you, Kevin? What'd you think when this one came out?
Yeah, it was weird because, yeah, I was working at a music store by this point, too. And so I picked it up the day it was released. Actually, I got it a couple of days early, but they wouldn't let me buy it until the Tuesday. But I don't know. To me, it was a little off-putting at first. It was not what I was expecting, I guess, you know, after Girlfriend and all. And there were a few tracks that I really, really loved, but then the rest of it, I was just kind of like, yeah. But then years later, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to listen to it. And it's one that I really appreciate now, but just at the time, it just didn't hit me the right way. Maybe I was putting my expectations ahead of, you know, what Matthew Sweet, his artistry, what he decided to do. You know, it's like, you know, I can't expect him to do exactly what I want to do.
It's always, you know, tough to navigate those things, right? An album you love or whatever, and then the sound is slightly different or whatever, and sometimes it takes a while. I know, like, I had the same with Ben Queller, who 20 years ago put out his self-titled album, which is a power pop classic, and then the next one he was very country inflected and whatever, and I was like, this is not what I want from my Ben Queller. I grew to like it too, but expectation I think does play a big part of it. But Nicholas, you did not have those expectations at all. So
I did not, so it was different for me, I suppose.
Yeah.
I believe the lead single from this album was Time Capsule, which is a very sweet song, like you said. And it's not really, I mean, there are a lot of other songs on this album that are so much darker than Time Capsule.
Oh yeah. And just sonically as well. And
exactly.
Devil with the Green Eyes was also kind of one of the songs they played on alternative radio, here in the United States. And that's kind of more that jangly, like I've Been Waiting, you know, from Girlfriend is too. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the album, you know, is definitely that heavier. I mean, Dinosaur Act, when it starts, it kind of lumbers to life with the kind of grumbling up until it starts moving, which, you know, I dig, but yeah.
And this album is also sort of, well, as it was back then, divided into two sort of separate sides.
Yes.
And split by we were talking about his interest in movies. And so this is an excerpt from the movie Caligula, or if it's a TV series, I'm not sure.
No, it's a very interesting movie.
And I'm not really sure why he put it in there, but well, he wanted it. To be there.
I do segue into. Yeah, but that segue into, like, just the last part, because, you know, he's like, he declares himself a god, and they're trying to get, you know, everybody to declare, you know, to say, to go along with it by coercion. But then, you know, the last line of the clip is, he's a god now. And then it slams into the rock version of The Ugly Truth, which earlier was in more of an acoustic version. And that he's a god now right into that.
Yeah.
You know, those chords for Ugly Truth. I mean, that works.
It does. It does work.
It works.
It does. And the first, like, seven songs before that Caligula clip, there are some really dark ones, and you've got someone to pull the trigger, and you can hear from the title that is dark. That's dark stuff. And then I've picked two songs from this album as well, and I've actually gone with a track that I just couldn't really take it in. It's called Knowing People. And when you hear the lyrics, you'll understand it's quite depressive. But then I don't know about you guys, but some days I just feel just the way he sings this. I don't like knowing people, and I don't like people knowing about me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very easy or very simple line, but it hits very hard, I think. And the guitar playing on this one is I needed to get used to it. Let's put it that way. So why don't we play a little bit from Knowing People from the Altered Beast album. Yeah, those guitars are pretty cool.
Richard Lloyd.
Uh-huh. It's something else.
Yep.
And, yeah.
That song, too, for me, kind of points out, I think the bass on Matthew Sweet albums aren't necessarily thought about all that often. But that little bass line there works really well with the way the guitars are going and kind of counter to the melody. I don't know. He plays a lot of the bass on his albums.
Yeah. It sure does.
I think he does a good job.
Definitely. Yeah. And I hope that people are not being put off by this song, but it's not, maybe it's not representative of the album as a whole, but it sort of gives the vibe of the album, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And you talked about the Ugly Truth Rock, as it's, I think it's called the Ugly Truth Rock, the second version of the Ugly Truth. I'm not entirely sure. I as a whole, I think there may be two songs too many on this album to make it it's still a fantastic album. But if he dropped maybe two in like the first two or three songs on the second side, and I think that would have been for the best. But then, there are different opinions about everything. But that's what I feel. So, how do you feel about there being 15 tracks on it? Well, there's one that is just the
film. Yeah, one is the Caligula. So there's 14.
Yeah,
14 tracks. But yeah, it's a bit much, but it's one of those I've learned over time, like I said last show, that I'm more of a singles guy, but I've learned to be an album guy. And it's just with some of these albums in the 90s, you had 15, 20 tracks sometimes, and it's like you just kind of gotta sink into it and just kind of go with the flow.
I think so as well. And it, as you say, in the 90s in particular, because the record companies wanted the artist to sort of fill the CD, because you could pack so much more into the CD than the vinyl, of course.
Well, it's funny because, Girlfriend at 15, we're like, yep, perfect, and this one at 14 tracks, really. We're like, maybe could, use a little trimming. It's just kind of... it's just how it goes. I think because of that darker, the darker sound, maybe it feels like, you know, the balance. Would you lose one of the ugly truths?
I think I would, actually. Yeah. But as you said, the Caligula clip then goes into the ugly truth.
It makes it work, you know, for me. I think, you know, the same song on an album twice doesn't happen all that often. And some versions are better than others.
Yeah, there are. But I'm thinking mainly about Do It Again, In Too Deep, Reaching Out and Falling. Those four that comes at track 10 to 13, mm-hmm. I'd drop a couple of those, I think. Because then when they are done, then the two finishing songs, they're so much sweeter and so much brighter, I think, at least in the music part of them. I don't know what you guys think, but What Do You Know is one of those songs of his that I really, really like. And I don't know, what do you say, Kevin, about the last two songs on the album?
Yeah, they're definitely a good finish to the album, for sure. Just, I don't know, it's kind of hard to put into words for me, but
but maybe we should listen to the because I picked What Do You Know as my second pick from the Altered Beast album, and we can let the listeners decide for themselves. So what do you know? So that's What Do You Know? So it's definitely got a different feel to it compared to Knowing People.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. Nice little bass line on that track, though, too.
Yes, it is. I actually learned this one for the when we were doing the Friday Night Hootenannies. And okay. I think I played it on one of the occasions.
Yes, that does ring a bell now that you say it.
So, it's definitely a favorite. It's definitely a favorite. So, I mean, I think overall, Altered Beast, which, by the way, came in, I think, five different colors on the sleeve.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got the blue one and... We were comparing before this, and Justin, you've got the blue one as well.
I do.
But Kevin,
I'm the oddball with the purple one.
It's very nice too.
All right, we can do like, kind of a turn and talk here, which is what I do with my students, to the listeners of Rock in the Suburbs. So everybody turn to your partner out there in Suburbs land and say which color cover that you have still that you can participate in. All right. Yeah.
There was also orange, yellow, and I can't remember the other.
Was it red maybe?
Yeah, I think red.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. So overall, a great album. If I think girlfriend is a perfect 10, I'd say this is an 8, maybe 8.5, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
So,
that's fair. Get on board.
Yeah. And we're not going to finish this today's episode just yet because, well, I'm showing you on, this is terrible podcasting. I'm showing you guys on the screen the cover of Son of Altered Beast, which was a record that came out in 94, the year after Altered Beast came out. And there are a couple of live versions and a few other songs. And I know one of your favorite songs are on here, Justin, but maybe we are talking about that later, or would you like
to? Let's hold that.
Yeah, we'll hold. And one of my favorite songs, which is one of the other songs, the closer, which is called Ultra Suede. That's one of my favorites. So we're going to play out with that a little later. But it also has a live version of Devil with the Green Eyes and Someone to Pull the Trigger and Knowing People. And then a cover of, we mentioned Stephen Routledge before, and whenever a Neil Young song comes up, you sort of automatically think of Stephen, and there's a cover of Don't Cry No Tears by Neil Young on this one as well. So it's well worth a listen after you've dug into Altered Beast and chewed it properly for a couple of weeks. You can move on to Son of Altered Beast. Anything else, gents, that you would like to cover on Altered Beast?
No, I think we summed it up pretty well.
Yep, good stuff. We'll play out with a song from Son of Altered Beast, which is called Ultra Suede, and which is one of my favorite Matthew Sweet songs. There are quite a few to choose from, but this one always comes to mind when I am pushed to pick my favorite Matthew Sweet songs. And I am trying to prolong this because I hadn't found the actual track, but here it is. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow, and then we'll talk about the next album, 100% Fun.
It's a deeper, darker power pop.